Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks Presents True Crime for the Short on Time. As always, I'm John Connor, saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying, bite-sized true crime case. Before we get started, you may notice, again, this is me with a little solo Short on Time episode. I just wanted to apologize because I know you guys have been hearing a lot from me recently, whether it's these solo Short on Times or, you know, the majority of the cases over the last couple of weeks have just been ones that I put together. And thank you for your patience. We've had some travel plans. Again, Olivia is traveling now, so wasn't able to be here for this particular episode. But, you know, we want to make sure that they're still coming out. So thank you for hanging in there. I know one of my favorite things about the show is that Olivia and I get to, you know, kind of alternate, and we have our own styles of telling, you know, these stories and breaking down these cases. So I really appreciate your patience and dealing with me as much as you've had to. So, again, we've got a good one for this week, but I hope everyone out there is doing well. I promise Olivia will be back with us next week. It will either be for the Monday episode or for the Short on Time, just depending on, you know, when she gets back from her travel and stuff like that. So just giving you guys a quick update. But with that being said, this is a Short on Time episode, so we're going to go ahead and jump on into it. We're going to quit the Gabby Gabby, get to the Stabby Stabby, because this case really did kind of surprise me. I was, kind of, again, surprised I hadn't heard about it until, you know, very recently. So I'm excited to get into it, break it down, hear what the listeners have to think, and, you know, just talk about it on the Facebook group, stuff like that. So let's go ahead and jump on into it. This week, we are headed to Texas, where in September 2023, a woman and her friends were staying at a lake house owned by the Wasik family. Now, you may not be familiar with the family name, but you most likely know their claim to fame. You see, the patriarch of the family, Don Wasik, is one of the co-founders of Bucky's Travel Centers. That's right, Bucky's, world-renowned for their brisket, their clean bathrooms. Everybody loves a Bucky's, right? I'm actually, no joke, I'm wearing a Bucky's t-shirt. It's their Halloween shirt from last year because we stopped with Millie. I swear, it might as well be Disneyland. She gets so excited to see that Bucky the Beaver. I mean, it's always jam-packed. Family loves it. So, you know, I'm sure if you haven't been to a Bucky's, you may have seen one, or it is so big in the zeitgeist, I'm sure you know what it is. Now, Wasik actually owns 50% of the company, and he manages the brand's operations. Now, because of the success of the world-renowned travel stop, Wasik had been fortunate enough to own multiple properties, including the lake house I mentioned just a moment ago. Now, in 2023, the woman and her friends again were staying at that house with Wasik's son, 29-year-old Mitchell. And while in the bathroom, the unnamed woman noticed something strange. At first, it appeared to be a phone charging block plugged into the wall, but upon closer inspection, she made a shocking discovery. The charger was actually a hidden camera. Now, instead of confronting anyone, the woman and her friends decided to take the camera with them when they left. And once home, they were surprised to find a micro SD card inside. And when they reviewed the footage, they were stunned. Dozens of videos were found, including footage of people in the bathrooms and bedrooms at the lake house, as well as Mitchell Wasik's Dallas apartment. The Dallas police were notified and the camera and video files were further inspected. And it seemed no one in the video had consented or even knew that they were being filmed. In all, there were roughly 68 video files containing at least 13 male and female individuals on film, using toilets, showering, changing clothes, and in some cases, having sex. Videos dated back to 2021, with some footage being recorded at a condo in downtown Austin and a vacation home in Telluride, Colorado. Both of these properties were owned by Mitchell Wasik's parents. Detectives also reviewed Wasik's Amazon purchase history and were able to determine that he had bought several types of, quote, spy cameras. Now, also, I feel it's important to note that no other members of the Wasik family were at the property at the time that these videos were recorded. Mitchell would be arrested and charged with the crime in October of 2023, but recently there's been an update to this case. You see, some of the files found on Wasik's SD card seem to be of prepubescent children. Detectives from the Travis County Sheriff's Office sent the images to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. The images on the SD card were then compared to photos of known victims in the center's database. And it was this comparison that led to the identification of a girl aged 6 to 8 years old. Now, according to news reports, that same child had been recorded and the disturbing images were put online. Authorities were able to track down the original poster, and they were convicted of 2 counts of production of child pornography, 1 count of distribution of child pornography, and another count for possessing the content at all. Now, because the same child was found on Wasik's SD card, he would face additional charges. And on February 28, 2025, just a few days ago, third-degree felony charges were filed. Now, that's on top of the 21 charges he was indicted on in May of 2024. Now, Wasik's attorney is arguing that his client has done nothing wrong, saying Wasik had the legal right to install camera in one's own home, claiming that there are, quote, many thorny legal issues, including the question of whether or not a homeowner can install a camera in his home without telling the housekeepers and guests. Now, we'll definitely have to keep up with the story as it progresses, but definitely a few things I want to jump into here. First of all, this is a major fear of mine. Anytime I check into a hotel or have stayed in an Airbnb, the first thing in my head is, where could the cameras be hidden? And I don't know if it's just because I've seen a lot of movies or things of that nature, but I'm always afraid that, you know, I'm going to be in some kind of compromising situation, you know, looking unflattering in the shower or something of that nature. And somewhere it's a phone charger or tissue box or something like that that's, you know, secretly recording me. So this, I think, kind of got under my skin in a little bit of a different kind of way, because this is something I've literally spent time, you know, looking around hotel rooms and looking around Airbnbs being like, is there anything in here that looks suspicious or seems out of place, anything like that. As far as the right to have cameras in your home, to me, and definitely let me know again in the Facebook group, you can send us an email, reach out however you'd like. But to me, this definitely feels like an intent situation, where I get it, right? If you have a nanny cam set up in a teddy bear, maybe in the living room, because you think, you know, maybe the nanny is doing something she's not supposed to do or they're not supposed to do, right? You know, having security cameras, as long as, you know, it's posted or people know that they're on camera, right? It, for me, it's an intent thing, where if your security cameras, your quote security cameras, are hidden in the bathroom or, you know, hidden in bedrooms where people do not know that they're there, right? They would, I mean, I don't know anyone who's like, yes, record me when I go to the bathroom. But also, you know, if this is in a bedroom or something like that, like, you know, you there's certain things that you wouldn't do if you knew that there was a camera in that room, you know, security or not. So it is one of those things where it definitely feels like the intent is to capture people in those vulnerable situations. And you don't hold on to videos like that, right? If it's just security footage, you don't have a micro SD card of videos that you're holding on to that go back years, right? So for me, it definitely seems like, you know, I get the argument that they are trying to use in court. I don't think it's going to hold any water, me personally, just because, again, you know, it definitely feels like the intent is I want to record people secretly and have them in these compromising situations for my own gratification and enjoyment. Now, as far as the child related charges, that's part of why I want to follow up with this story, is because I don't know if this is a situation. Like, it's strange to me that this girl's already been a victim, and I want to know how she ended up with Mitchell Wessick at any of his properties. You know, I don't know if this was she, you know, this child just went in to go to the bathroom and the camera was in there. Like, there's a lot of unanswered questions around that part for me. And if this is something nefarious, which it feels like it is, I want the book thrown. Like, I want those charges to stick. I don't know. It's just, again, having a child who is at that age, you know, right between that 6 and 8, it's just, it makes you angry as a parent, and it makes you, you know, there's already so many things that you have to worry about when you have a kid, right? Are other kids going to be nice to her? Are they going to grow up confident? Stuff like this happening shouldn't be one of the things that you have to worry about. And it, you know, it's just, it's sad. So, you know, again, really want to follow this one. Want to know what's going on. I think if I was going to put this on the deadbolt test for me, this would 100% at least be a 7, just because of the fact that, again, this is something that I am afraid of happening to me, or, you know, my wife or my daughter, anytime we stay anywhere. So I'm going to put this at a 7. But as always, I want to hear from the listeners, the locksmiths. Where does a situation like this fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. If you're in our Facebook group, please, you know, drop some comments there. Let us know what you think. I think this one's going to make for some really good discussion. And if you're not in our Facebook group, we would absolutely love to have you, get to know you, spend a little bit of time with you. You can actually join. There's a link in the description of the episode that you're listening to right now. So click that link. It'll take you right to the Facebook group, answer a few questions, and come hang out with us. Be part of the conversation. And as always, if you like the show, you want to help support what we do, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks. Get signed up today. We got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits. You get stickers, coffee mugs, things like that. But you also get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, you want to help us keep the lights on, throw us a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/checkthelocks. Get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening and sharing what we do with your friends and family, the people who are important to you, means just as much, if not more. So if that's what you're doing, you're telling people to listen, just know that we appreciate that more than we could ever tell you. Again, it's all about that grassroots growth, right? And finding new listeners and expanding our community. And that really works the best when, you know, people are telling others to check it out. So if you're letting people know to listen to the show, just know that we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. That's all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you're subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. We'll see you again next week with another truly terrifying, bite-sized true crime case. But until then, don't forget to check the locks. We'll see you next week. Bye.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.